the way it highlights the mercy that you show, or you show to this blind man. I pray that as we're going through this passage, we would be struck with the grace and mercy that you've shown to all of us as well. And I pray that you'd be with Pastor Craig, you'd give him clarity and boldness as he's teaching us from this passage. And I pray that we would have attentive ears and open hearts to receive as well. I pray all this in your son's name. Amen. Amen.
Three blind mice, see how they run, see how they run. They all ran after the farmer's wife. She cut off their tails with a carving knife. Did you ever see such a sight in your life as three blind mice? I wasn't expecting participation. And I was worried that some first-time visitors might leave. Thank you for not. But you've heard that song, obviously. But have you heard the story behind that song? Anybody here, you've heard the story? Oh, good. This is going to be new to all of you then. It is believed to have originated in about the mid-1500s, so about 800 years ago now, and originated as kind of how we use it, as a child's nursery rhyme, but the lyrics were a little bit different than what we have today. It was actually at the turn of the following century that the lyrics became closer to what we have today. And they're supposedly a mockery of three Christian pastors in Oxford, England, who had been preaching false doctrine through the church they were affiliated with, but then came to see who Jesus truly is. That the truth of God's word penetrated their hearts, and Hugh Latimer, Nicholas Ridley, and Thomas Cranmer, they'd been pastors of the Church of England. They'd been teaching things that were contrary to the truth, but then had their eyes open to the truth of Scripture and the finished work of Jesus Christ. But were then ironically called blind by the Catholic Church. And they ended up getting burned at the stake for their belief in the truth of God's word by Queen Mary the First of England. So the song itself is actually about these three men who actually found the truth. They went after Queen Mary with it, proclaiming it, but the Catholic Church called them the blind ones, and Queen Mary had their tails, well, heads, cut off, okay? Today, Hugh Latimer, Nicholas Ridley, and Thomas Cranmer are known as the Oxford Martyrs. Three Christian men who died for the truth because although they had been blind, they now saw. Well, this morning in our passage, we're going to see three men whom the world might consider mice of sorts, blinded by the weakness of sin, men that will truly come to see who Jesus is. And today, these three men are actually famous because their stories are recorded in the eternal Word of God. All three men that we're going to read about this morning were blind. The first two of them were physically blind. The last one was spiritually blind. But all are going to come to see the truth of who Jesus is. And this morning we're going to see how. My prayer is that this might give you insight, not only into the mercy of Christ, as Pastor Ben pointed out in his prayer, but also some insight into how you and I must approach our Lord. especially those that might be here that do not yet know him, do not yet recognize the truth of who he is. Today's message is actually going to carry us all the way into chapter 19, verse 10. And perhaps the most interesting thing about our passage today is the fact that we're going to see two beggars and a rich man place their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation and eternal life. We're going to see both ends of the spectrum, so to speak, both ends of the economic scale, because with God, even a beggar can inherit eternal life. And with God, even a rich man can inherit eternal life. So we're going to look at three blind men. That's our subject this morning. And with God, whether one is physically blind or spiritually blind, they can see if they want to. And that really, I think, is the big question for our morning. Pointed to perhaps those who have not come to recognize who Jesus is, what he's done for them yet. The question is, do you want to see? Do you want to see? You see, Romans chapter 1 says that the reason that people do not see God is because they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They suppress the truth about him. In other words, they know that the truth is there, but they turn a blind eye to it. They don't want to see it. They are willfully blind. Well, in today's passage, again, we find three blind men that want to see. And that's the key here this morning. They want to see, and they will. The first of which is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus wanted to see. And if you're in Luke chapter 18, look at verses 35 through 43 again. It says, "And it happened as he, Jesus, was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And he said, 'Lord, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God." Now, the first question you might be asking after I now read this passage is, "Craig, how do you know his name is Bartimaeus?" Well, both Matthew and Mark record this account in their Gospels as well. And Mark tells us his name. And his name is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus wanted to see. Well, of course he does. What blind man would not want to see? Well, the answer to that question might surprise you a little bit, and it depends on whether we're talking about physical sight or spiritual sight. There's some very applicable symbolism in our passage. And I want to point out one symbol in particular is the phrase, "the side of the road." That's where this blind man was. The side of the road. It's a common phrase really in all of the Gospels. And it is the place of outcasts. The side of the road. If you and I were to travel from here to Las Vegas, and we looked out on the side of the road, we would, other than dirt and cactus and sagebrush or mesquite bushes, we would probably see a lot of trash, just people that, stuff that people have thrown out of their windows. If you and I were to go to some of the dirty and dark places of Las Vegas, we might see another kind of outcast on the side of the road, namely the homeless, the afflicted, the self-inflicted, some of which might even consider themselves to be discarded trash. And here's one of the oddest things that I recently learned about those who live on the side of the road, so to speak. I've watched numerous documentaries with these people, and many of them, believe it or not, they want to be there. They do. They want to be there. They are fine right where they're at. And that is a very, very sad place to be, because they don't have to be there, most of them. However, some do want out. Some want to see. Some want to be like, want the life. Some don't want to be an outcast anymore. They want a life beyond that of a beggar. Well, that's Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus begged because he was blind. He had nothing else that he could do. He was really, at life, at this point in time, he was at rock bottom. And there was nothing that he could do within himself to rectify his problem. And sometimes that's what it takes for one to finally cry out to God. Is to be at rock bottom, to find ourselves in a place where we don't want to be. Sadly, sometimes someone must find themselves in a place where they have absolutely no other options before they will finally cry out to God. In fact, I will tell you, we talked about prayer in Sunday school this morning. And I have actually prayed that prayer for people before. I prayed before for people close to me to find themselves in a place where they are an outcast because they needed God. And they needed to come to a place where they had no other options but to cry out to God. And praise the Lord that there have been people that we have prayed for, prayed that prayer for, that they would hit absolute rock bottom, be considered trash of the world. And they found themselves in that place and cried out to God. And God saved them. He showed his mercy on them. That's where Bartimaeus was. And he wanted out. He wanted out. He was an outcast on the side of the road. He heard this crowd passing by. He could tell that a large group of people who were excited about something were passing by. And he asked, what's the commotion? And a few paused and told him it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, while we are not told how, we have to come to the conclusion that he believed that Jesus was Messiah. He had probably heard about the many whom Jesus had healed already. Perhaps he remembered the promise of Isaiah 35 that when Messiah comes, the eyes of the blind would be opened, the ears of the deaf would be unstopped. And so as he heard that this is Jesus of Nazareth walking by, he cried out to Jesus using a title attributed to Messiah in the Old Testament, and that is Son of David. Son of David. It was promised that it would be a Son of David that would be Messiah, and he would make the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, and the blind to see. And so he cried out and requested mercy. Even as some in the crowd told him to be quiet, he requested all the more. He had no other options. This was it. Now, we've noted a time or two that mercy is the withholding of just punishment. It's a guilty party wanting to have their fair punishment withheld. And the fact that this man requested mercy may imply that his blindness was somewhat self-inflicted. That perhaps he had done something sinful that brought him to this place. Maybe in the midst of sin he had an accident that blinded him. We have no idea. Perhaps he was on the side of the road by his own doing. But he requested mercy and he requested sight. Jesus called him over. Jesus, again, being the compassionate God that he is, stop this whole train because this outcast called out to him. Jesus called him over and asked him, "What do you want?" And he said, "That I may receive my sight." Bartimaeus begged because he was blind, but Bartimaeus received mercy and sight because of his faith in God. Verse 42, then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, your faith has made you well." Now his faith, know this, was not the power that healed him. It was not what he did that healed him. Rather, his faith in God's power is what healed him. And it is God who made him well. All Bartimaeus did was trust in him. And that's a lesson for us. Regardless of what we're going through right now, have faith that God not only knows the end from the beginning, but has a plan for the end from the beginning. Trust in him. That is the only thing that will get us out of any pit that we find ourselves in. Only Jesus can do it. But we must want out. We must cry out to him for mercy. In Titus 3:5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." In Psalm 86, verse 5, it says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." So upon Bartimaeus receiving mercy and sight, he went right back to his old sinful ways. Not. No. No, that is not the normal response. That is not the natural response. Bartimaeus followed Jesus and glorified God. Song service was awesome, by the way. It's tying in exactly to what we're talking about here. Since Jesus saved his life, Bartimaeus gave his life to Christ. He began growing and living his life in a way that would honor God. Why? So that all would now look at the change in his own life, and perhaps they would do the same in theirs. In fact, verse 43 ends saying, "And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God." That's what it's all about. And I think this was as much perhaps even more about an outcast following Jesus and glorifying God with his life as it is a blind man now seeing. Bartimaeus wanted to see. He wanted to see Jesus, and he did. Secondly, this morning, Anonymous wanted to see. Now, if you're looking at your passage, and in particular the very next verses, you are no doubt noticing that the very next set of verses is about a tax collector named Zacchaeus, and you might be wondering, who is the second physically blind man that I referred to in my purpose statement and am now calling Anonymous? Well, Matthew's account of this very same story in Matthew chapter 20 says this. Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." And what we learn here, that's the beauty, I think, of the gospel perspectives, is this, what we find in the Bible is not a scripted account. It is the perspective of different men, different witnesses giving their account. And while Luke focused on the one blind man, Matthew indicates there were actually two sitting there. Bartimaeus had a friend, someone right alongside him who was also blind. Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus on both their behalf. And so my second point is Anonymous, whoever this man was, wanted to see. And we can only speculate as to why Luke speaks only of one of these blind men. We can only speculate as to why only Mark names that blind man, and we can only speculate as to why only Matthew records that there were two blind men on the side of the road. But the bottom line is, like Bartimaeus, Anonymous begged because he was blind. He too was at rock bottom. Anonymous received mercy and sight, and Anonymous too followed Jesus. And this change occurred because Anonymous wanted to see. Now there are many in this world that do like it right where they are. Perhaps they are where they are by their own doing. Perhaps they just like being blind, they just like being blind and therefore refuse to ask God for sight. And of course, I'm actually speaking more about that willful spiritual blindness than I am physical blindness here. Because if the truth be known, what physically blind person would not want to see again if they could? I don't know if we could find a person like that. But the truth be known, there are billions of people in this world right now that are willfully blind and they like the darkness and ignorance that they are in. They don't want to see the truth. In fact, anytime someone shines the light of truth on them, They suppress it. They suppress it. They've been blinded by lies, and they like it there. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "Whose minds have been blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." John 1:9-11, speaking of Jesus, says that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And then in John 3, 20 and 21, it says, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes into the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." If a person wants to see, he can. Bartimaeus wanted to see, Anonymous wanted to see, and then lastly this morning, Zacchaeus wanted to see. Look at chapter 19 now, and verses 1 through 6. It says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Now, back in chapter 18, earlier on in the chapter, Jesus said this. He says, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." But Jesus also said this back in chapter 18. He said, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Well, right here, we have a very rich and powerful man seeking Jesus just like a little child. Just like a little child. Now, while there are some significant differences, imagine with me for just a minute, Donald Trump, dressed in his dark suit, his polished shoes, his gold cufflinks, his red power tie, who normally carries himself shoulder back with pride, now at the edge of this crowd, trying to see in, perhaps even jumping like a child to do so and failing. So then he runs ahead of the moving crowd, climbs into a tree to see what's going on. And as Jesus sees him up there straddling a limb, he calls him down, "Donald, come down from there." And right in front of the entire crowd, he shimmies down this tree like a giddy little kid. Now, I'm guessing you are either having difficulty or fun imagining that. But that really is the sort of thing we're seeing right here, literally happening in our passage. And it is that exact childlike attitude that is required for anyone to enter the kingdom of God. For they must really want to see Jesus. This account here, by the way, like the prodigal son, and like the rich man and Lazarus, is only found in the Gospel of Luke. And here we have this very rich, probably dignified and powerful man, probably dressed better than anybody else around, seeking Jesus like a little kid. Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully. And we're given some important information here about him. First of all, he was short. And we all know that short people are naturally remarkable in so many ways. At 5'6", I know that. Boy, can we climb a tree too. But seeing over crowds, That's another story. That's a bit of a problem. But he was short. He was the chief tax collector. These tax collectors in Israel were typically Jews who worked for the Roman government. They were paid very well, and some even taxed a little higher than they were supposed to, and pocketed the difference for themselves. So in that, they were not only seen as traitors by the Jewish people, but also as thieving sinners. Well, Zacchaeus was either the supervisor over other tax collectors in his region, or he may have been the main tax collector of his region. But either way, he was a rich tax collector. He had gained a lot of wealth doing what he was doing. But he was blind to who Jesus was. He wanted to find out, but he was blind to who Jesus was. He, like many rich people, was probably trusting in his riches rather than his God. Even as a Jew, he was blind to who Jesus was. But one quality he did exercise was he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to know, who is this guy? He wanted to know the truth of the matter. He wanted to see. And so as Jesus called him down from that tree and told him, by the way, I'm staying at your house today, Zacchaeus joyfully received Jesus into his home. And of course, the Jews, the Jewish leaders, condemned Jesus for that. You find that in verses 7 through 10. It says, but when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who was a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. I think sometime in the course of this day, this evening, Zacchaeus believed in Jesus. We are not told in our passage what kind of conversations happened after the tree event. We're not told what happened at the house of Zacchaeus. We are not told anything about what Jesus may have taught as he stayed with Zacchaeus. But at some point, at some time, he saw who Jesus was. Perhaps he recognized what the prophet Isaiah foretold about Messiah coming for the lost sheep of Israel who had gone astray. He, Zacchaeus, being one of them. And so, right in our passage, he called Jesus Lord. He recognized Jesus as Messiah. Zacchaeus believed in Jesus, and then Zacchaeus followed Jesus. He said, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. He did exactly what Jesus would have him do. Truly, he trusted now in Jesus over his riches. He did really what the rich young ruler earlier in chapter 18 would not do. Where perhaps he had been trusting in his wealth, he now put his trust in the truth of who Jesus is, and he followed him. And according to verses 9 and 10, he inherited salvation. It says, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He was one of the few Jews, Zacchaeus was, one of the few descendants of Abraham who really wanted to see Jesus. And he came to him in childlike faith. And as a result, salvation came to him. he had inherited eternal life. He had inherited the kingdom of God. And the irony here, I think, is while he, Zacchaeus, thought, actually this could apply to all three men, while they thought they were seeking Jesus, really it was actually Jesus who was seeking them. For Jesus said, I have come to seek and save that which was lost. All he needed to do, all Zacchaeus, all these men needed to do was to want to be found. And his life would be changed forever. This is how three blind men came to see, not only physically, but spiritually. You see, Jesus has come to seek and to save those that are lost. That's the theme of Luke's entire gospel. And what's unique about Luke's gospel is it is written to you and I, those of us who are not of Jewish descent. This is for us too. We can be adopted into the family of Abraham. The question is, do you want to be found? Will you take the time to investigate who Jesus is? Or are you happy in your ignorance? If you like the darkness, be warned. In John chapter 3, verses 17 through 21, it says that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then it says this, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. In John 12, 45 and 46, he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come, Jesus says, as light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Three blind men, see how they've changed. See how they've changed. They all came to the giver of sight, who opened their eyes to see the light. Have you ever received such a gift in your life as three blind men? Father, no. That's not worthy. Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you for these men who you've included in your eternal word as examples of again, not only your mercy and your compassion and your grace to even the lowest of the low and the richest of the rich, but Lord, for the simplicity in which we can have an eternal relationship with you. We just have to want to be found. We just have to want it, believe in what you've given us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.